during the break. Was checking our radar here with the, from the Weather Channel for Dr. Peggy Hinckley, because she was worried about, wait a minute, we're in a tornado watch until at least 5 o'clock. She was just making sure that heavy weather was not coming through during school bus time. Correct. But anyway, the interim superintendent of IPS is here. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
You're $30 million in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And currently, and that is for the fiscal year that will end in June, or the fiscal year that will end in December.
Well, technically, we're on a January to December budget. Okay. So that would be technically, as we look at it, we're currently in that deficit position through the end of the year.
So it's very difficult when you're a third of the way in to mm-hmm. really start cutting. So there's a rainy day fund, kind of, sort of.
We have a rainy day fund. We have a cash balance of about $53 million. But as you know, and I believe the rainy day fund is about $20 million, that is one-time money. It's mm-hmm. like your savings account. And so as we look at operational expenses, that should be about $245 million, but right now it are trending at $275 million. At some point, that money will be gone, and then we will be in deficit spending. And, of course, as you know, in Indiana, it's illegal right. to be in deficit spending.
Every school district puts either teachers on notice or support staff on notice that perhaps you will not be rehired for Correct. The next school year. This Correct. Is a normal procedure that occurs. This year, Dr. White started that procedure not with classroom teachers, but with administrators, where Correct. Virtually every administrator was put on notice that unless you hear back from us, you're out. You're not going to be working. And that's the situation that you walked into
Correct.
When you became interim. Walk the listeners briefly between these two classifications of administrators, certified Certainly. And classified.
Certainly. Well, first of all, let me also make the distinction that when the notice was sent out, mm-hmm. the notice was sent for purposes of budget. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's important is that unless we were going to reduce the number of positions, we would have to recall all those people. Okay. So, for example, we are not closing any schools for next year. So principal positions had to be recalled, all of them, mm-hmm. without consideration of less or more or who, because the notice was done based on budget right. and if we need the same principal, same number, we had to restore all of them.
Okay.
Now, I did that initially because there was a great deal of stress, as you could imagine, mm-hmm. People applying, and, right. and obviously we wanted to hold on to people. The difference between what would be certified versus classified is certified administrators obviously are licensed. They have an administrative license. They would have a teaching license, administrative license. Versus classified administrators who would not have those licensures. They may or may not have a teaching license. In most cases, they probably have a college degree, but again, that's not required. Mm-hmm. And so the difference between certified and classified would be whether they have an administrative license.
And were some of the classified administrators, I look at job titles, they, you know, is an elementary building monitor an administrator? Because I would say that's a regular employee as opposed to an administrator being somebody that would administrate something.
Well, I'm learning in my almost 7 weeks mm-hmm. as the interim that we have a lot of titles for a lot of things that I'm learning what those are. But I think basically building monitors or hallway mm-hmm. monitors tend to be classified positions. They're generally not administrators.
Right. At what point and obviously these are people you really, some you knew, most you did not. Is that fair to say?
Right. Okay. Now, I've tried to meet with most of those right. employee groups directly.
When you were given the list, did mm-hmm. anyone, you know, tell you, you know, Dr. Hinckley, here's the list of classified employees that we recommend to you not be rehired? Did you know at the beginning the diversity of that list?
Yes, certainly. The HR department was very attentive to looking at the list. I think the important thing to remember is that the reductions are far from over. Mm-hmm. So certainly understanding that we were in a wave and looking, as you know, there has been much written about layers and numbers of administrators in IPS. And so, honestly, that was a place we had to begin. And as we look at, for example, we have content area directors. Now, I want to say, first of all of these people are hardworking people who did the job they were hired for. Mm-hmm. And so this is not a reflection in any way upon the fact that maybe they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. But again, as we reflect on a lot of criticism of all these people we have, we had content area directors that were supervising several what they call teachers on special assignment or TOSAs. Well, that's another one of those layers. Mm-hmm. That group of six people, one person is African American, five people are white. Mm-hmm. We look at the group of discipline deans, which are 10, all of the nine are African American, one is white. Mm-hmm. Those positions were just added, some of them this year, some of them the year before. So mm-hmm. they're relatively new positions. And honestly, as we talk about those positions, they were largely created to then give for people that were coaching so they could have regular employment in the district. Mm-hmm. Because every school district struggles with finding whether teaching staff will take coaching the positions. Job, many times we have community people, mm-hmm. but when they're not always connected in the school, that sometimes proves to be problematic. Mm-hmm. So the reasons for doing it were not ill-advised. But again, we're trying to deal with a $30 million shortfall. And so in looking at everything that and certainly we're getting ready to do we're asking the business community to come in and do an audit of five areas of our business functions. Mm-hmm. Evidently, that's something that groups have offered to do in the past. Right. I think we need that outside view. We need to, open the windows and let the sun in. So right. IT, HR, transportation, and food service. Finance, and IT, if I said that, yeah, if not IT, maintenance right. and facilities. Totally. All those areas will receive a look from the business community. So we're really going to have rounds of reductions. But with respect to these folks, one of the things that I have been, as I know Dr. White was, very concerned about. We have 40 DNF schools. Mm-hmm. So when we look at reductions in a budget, we want to ensure that those reductions, now, as you mentioned, right. frequently teachers are noticed and we do that, yeah. That we're trying to do, I always talk about it like you're peeling an onion with the core being your classrooms. You want to keep those cuts away from your classroom. Mm-hmm. So while these folks have proven to have a role to play, they're not people that are going to help get more kids passing the end of course assessments in Algebra 1, English 10. Now, their relationships and helping kids is important, but we really need the instructional people to work with that. The second problem we've had a lack of equity between secondary and elementary. Mm-hmm. For example, a lot more secondary administrators, which we're in the process. We have reduced the overall number, and we have now posted those. And so all the people displaced will be able to post, mm-hmm. and then principals will select. But we've also added eight assistant principals in elementary schools where we've had as many as 600 children. One principal, mm-hmm. which means you have a principal trying to do 40 teacher evaluations, which is virtually impossible if you have to do five observations for everyone. So, and the other equity issue we've had, alternative education, mm-hmm. which Dr. Suggs, before he left, made $2.2 million in recommendations to downsize. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we have a $3 million program of which we have to provide as maintenance of effort another million, a program that should be at about $4 million that we were spending $7 million. And when I looked at the what they call the curriculum audits, we had classes with children with two, four, six children, less than 10 in many of them. And Dr. Suggs, I think, before he left, tried to be very responsible in realizing you can't – that's lovely to have if you have plenty of money. But then I have children. I have 24 split classrooms in the elementary, meaning if we didn't have enough for one teacher, we have a fifth grade and sixth grade together. Right. third and fourth, fourth and fifth. Many of those are set at class sizes. They're at 34 children. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, when you look at equity, that classroom with us teaching two grade levels is very challenging. And we've got to look at, so for next year, I've said there will be no split classrooms in the elementary. So in a way, it
then
probably...
So you have to raise, do you have to get more teachers? So you
at the elementary.
All fifth grade, all sixth grade. And I understand that all of these alternative school sites will be consolidated into one alternative school?
Not totally. We have currently, remember that we have now Coleman, which currently also houses Pacers. We also have, as you know, Pacers
Academy
East
at
Washington Square.
Right.
And again, it doesn't, when you have, that's not even an IPS boundary. Mm-hmm. So we're consolidating that. Teresa Knox has done a great job with that program of, by putting those, we gain some efficiencies, if you will, by putting them together. But keep in mind, we have alternative ed programs at the Juvenile Center, the Marion County Jail, the Meridian Transition, and then we have Day Adult also. Now, but we're really not consolidating into one building, and then we're adding at, in, I think it's school 112, we're adding a 6-7 middle school alternative. So we're adding another site. And again, in the reductions that Dr. Suggs recommended, we had a district person with a district office for alternative ed. We really don't need for a $4 or $5 million program all of the things that come with district offices. So those have all been eliminated. Mm-hmm. We will have a principal slash coordinator of alternative ed at school 112, and we've not filled that yet. We just posted it. So really, we've added more. We've consolidated some, but we've added some.
Before I go to calls, on the 59 employees for and maybe others.
Yes, sir.
What kind, obviously I know there's not severance involved because it's the end of a contract,
right,
but what assistance will IPS provide them? Do they get a letter signed by you and the seven members of the board saying this person did not lose their position because of any lack of effort? This was a great employee. We just had to cut dollars. You know, in other words, what things can IPS do? You're sending people off into a rough economy.
Yes, sir.
You know, in business, you say outplacement assistance. It's other things. Are there things that IPS can do for those 59 individuals can help, get a leg up? Call they don't have a leader of the Chamber of Commerce anymore, but it's call the business community and say, we've got 59 people. Here's their packet or whatever number. Take a look at them. These
are
great people.
Good point. Well, first of all, I think that's a great thought because I think it's important for these people, if they are displaced and don't have other options for employment, to at least be clear that they weren't, they didn't do anything wrong that wasn't because of poor performance. So I think certainly that's a great suggestion. But the other thing, and I meet with principals today at 3 o'clock, for example, we have one discipline dean who we had several of them that have teaching licenses, but they weren't able to get into teaching positions. Well, what we need to look at as what other skill sets they may have. For example, my message to principals today will be, you may have less effective people that are running in-school suspension rooms or are hallway doing other jobs, or you anticipate retirements or people leaving. We need to then work hard to plug folks into those roles so that at least if we still have employment opportunities, we do that. Otherwise, though, I think, your suggestion of a letter is certainly fair. But, we have a great network of – we have a lot of schools, and we have a lot of things that come open. We need to work hard to see if we can place them in alternative positions.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Amos. We got to make sure that she gets back to her office and prepare for her meeting because I don't want the superintendent late for a meeting with principals. It's bad enough if the principals are late for a meeting with the superintendent. So we ask you to make your question to the point, starting with Glenn. Glenn?
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Amos. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, since the superintendent is basically in a temporary capacity right now. Mm-hmm. I am wondering if it's wise for her to make these far-reaching decisions with long-term consequences instead of waiting for a permanent superintendent to be installed.
And second question?
The second question has to do with the funding. I know that the general funds are basically what's in trouble right now with IPS, and those are causing difficulties. However, there are other positions which were cut which are funded by grant positions, and they have no bearing. In fact, there's a surplus with the grant positions, so why would any employee have to lose their job that is in a grant position?
All right. Let me take the second question first. If somebody on the list was funded by a grant position and it's the general funds that are at risk, why wouldn't the grant position person stay?
Well, because as I started out and mentioned, the alternative ed grants, for example, the budget is $7 million. We only get $3 million in grants. So, really,
so you got to fund it at a $4 million level.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we were over... We were not only overfunding it, but candidly, we had those very small class sizes that are not very efficient. So while people may believe they're being paid out of the grant, people don't realize we were more than two times greater than the grant amount, and mm-hmm. we simply can't afford this today. I would also say about the funding that in addition to our $30 million deficit, we have the additional problem that because IPS gets a higher amount per pupil, which is called a foundation amount, about 7,000. Every year we will lose another 5 million until we get to the state 4,600. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't just a $30 million that we've overspent. It's every year from now for a long time, we will continue to lose those resources.
The larger question that Glenn posed,
right,
you're temporary and everybody knows it. Why
Absolutely.
Make these kind of decisions?
Right.
Just leave that to the board and the mm-hmm. new person.
Well, when I came on board as the temporary, I call myself the temporary girl, the interim superintendent, the board set four goals for me. Mm-hmm. Among those four goals was to make $30 million in cuts.
Okay, so that's
and
your I, directive
that
from
is
your
the
employers.
Directive from the commissioners, mm-hmm. and I believe that was so. The new superintendent would be in a better position to not have to deal with that coming in, with a school year probably already underway, et cetera.
Let me go to Reggie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Deal with that coming in, with a school year.
Whoa, Reggie! Yeah, Reggie's trying to put his listen with the telephone on the radio. I don't need to hear what. Let me ask this. You told the Indianapolis Star mm-hmm. that IPS is going to have to take a very hard look at closed buildings. We've said this on this program probably the last 2 years, so it's been no secret.
Okay.
Unfortunately, during the board elections, none of the candidates who were running, because they were all, nearly all of them were on this program, really addressed that or raised that issue. So for many in the community, hearing anyone in a top position in IPS now openly and publicly say that IPS has got to look at closing facilities is coming as a shock.
I see. Well, I can tell you that...
And that's not your fault. You just got here.
Well, that certainly wasn't my purpose to shock anyone. But I can tell you, as you have already, you obviously were wise enough to see that. We have many buildings. We have some buildings. I can't mm-hmm. say many that are really underutilized. But this has all been a dynamic tension of not wanting to have vacated buildings because of the issue of charter schools. Right. Ultimately, I've always taken the position that our competition in public schools, the way that we address that is by outstanding performance in our own schools. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this has been something, in fact, I've said to the commissioners, you're going to need to come to terms with this because $30 million will not, we don't have enough personnel to cut to get rid of $30 million. We're going to have to look at the issues of buildings. And with that becomes that concern that we're giving wonderful buildings to the competition. And, that's obviously something the new superintendent will likely have to deal with.
Let me go to Reggie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Dr. Eakley,
yes,
first
sir.
I'd like to compliment you for coming to the community and and explaining some of the things that happened. Unfortunately, I see you as the hatchet lady to do what is being an injustice to especially black competent people that are being dismissed, such as
Reggie,
Jethro Mays, who has been an outstanding teacher, educator, principal for 45 years, and then he gets a pink slip. Dr. Batts, who came up through the school system, who has done a great job at Tech High School and on the pink list. Scotty Hicks, who y'all gave citations to for and recognizing Bob Ripple's basketball team. And those people are connected to the community. Those people are great role models and male models that represent. We don't have a large population in the school system of black males. So I'm wondering, are you aware of the disparate impact?
Yes. First of all, sir, I am aware of that, and I realize it looks like I've been brought in to make the difficult decisions, but having been a superintendent for 28 years, I rarely found a situation I was employed in where I didn't have to do that. I know these are all noble people who have done good work, and even though their positions have been eliminated, for example, Mr. Nays has the ability to post for other positions that may be different from the one that he has, but it doesn't make him ineligible to post for those other positions that he can be considered for. And I don't know in particular the other licensing of the other two men that you mentioned, but if they have teaching licenses or other certifications, they may be eligible for other positions.
All right, appreciate the call. 239-1310, 239-1310 is after whose name is at the board meeting. There was this recommendation, and I was getting confused and whipsawed several times about an international baccalaureate program that's at Gambled.
Yes, sir.
With recommendations, okay, do we move it into Shortridge? Do we move it into Broad Ripple? Do we leave well enough alone? And it just seemed to me with my manager's hat on that that's a discussion that some managers should have sat everybody down in a room and tried to figure that out before it even got to the board level. And given that this school board is going and the next superintendent is going to have to make some hard decisions, what buildings stay open, what programs are there, would it maybe be the best not to make a decision yet on where that IB program goes? That may need to wait for board priorities and whatever, because all of a sudden they could make a change and all of a sudden buildings start to get closed. You got to make a change again.
Right. Well, I think the discussion, certainly I don't disagree with you, and I think in my additional conversations with commissioners has been, we're not ready to make this decision. I think that for everyone that spoke, really no one spoke about why this was bad for children. Sometimes schools that are separate within the same building, and I had that experience in Warren, although our folks appeared to play nicer in the sandbox together. So obviously this is not something that's had a lot of conversation. It really resulted when the principal, Shane O'Day, said to me, this recruitment is hurting, you know, where we're located. Now, you know, probably as we look at this, trying to be more competitive is something that I think the movement of the building is conflicting with. Do we want to be more competitive or do we not? And so we're really not ready to take this decision.
And I saw a principal who loved his school, was passionate about what
he's
doing, who was, in the words of Malcolm X, wanted to do whatever means necessary to get the job done. And I think those are the kind of school leaders we want in our schools, whether they're black or white. So there's a part of me saying, okay, I understand what it is, but then I'm going, wait a minute, if him and the Shortridge principal in the same building, I'm selling tickets to that because that is not, that may not be the most conducive relationship.
I think your reading of the water is probably correct. We have 715 children at Shortridge scheduled for next year, 120 kids of IB. We certainly have enough room at Shortridge,
right,
But very clearly, we have significant work to do to decide whether these folks can coexist. But as you know, because of that conversation, and the broad ripple just sort of happened.
Yeah, I was like,
now, I thought, you know, the conversation was good to have. I think what it said to us is this, but in fairness to Shane O'Day, he came to me and said, this is a problem. So I, of course, thought I was proposing a solution that might work. Very clearly, we're not ready to make that decision, and that will likely, I have to talk with Shane, but I think that'll probably be postponed.
All right, let me go to Greg quickly at 239-1310. Hi there.
Thank you, Amos.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions. First, the decisions that you're making right now, do that pertain to the schools that were taken over? And B, what do you think really caused a lot of these problems that the public school has right now? And that's what I want to know.
All right. None of these decisions affect the takeover schools because you're not responsible for those.
No, I'm not. Now, I would say that some of the funding issues, as you know, there was a lawsuit filed by IPS because there was a disagreement about how much money was going to be paid to the takeovers, what count day they used. IPS was successful in winning that lawsuit, and we're currently in negotiation with the state of Indiana to work out that
amount. If you get any of that money, does that reduce the deficit?
Well, it's one-time money.
But still, it would take one time would leave some money in the in the piggy bank.
That's correct. Okay. That would be correct. So, but otherwise, other than that, so that is partly responsible for why we have a deficit. As far as the problems of public schools, I can tell you, having worked in public schools for now my 39th year, that, you know, most people would say we're all struggling with achievement issues, but the root cause has been the dramatic change of the structure of families and the support that families have. Families are struggling, and so as a consequence, children are struggling.
On the decision what to do with buildings and close, does it also have to be not only an analysis of how many charters may or may not come online in the next 5 years and also the impact of vouchers?
Well, I think that's a concern about why there's been a reluctance to close any buildings. But, for example, we're exploring virtual school options in IPS because there are families that want those options. We've got to be competitive and offer a better product, and that's what it comes down to. But for about 30,000 students, we have too many buildings. So, yes, the concern is if we empty the buildings, then charter operators will be eligible to receive them.
Let me go to Anonymous. Will be our last caller with Interim Superintendent of IPS, Dr. Peggy Hinckley.
Good afternoon, and I just started listening, so I didn't know if you had addressed this question earlier. But in terms of the cuts, I know on the show yesterday a lot of conversation was about cutting these high pay, these high higher positions opposed to the individuals making the $18,000 or the $35,000 who are more directly related to, you know, working one-on-one with the children, opposed to, again, these people who may be making $100,000 or more who are just at the Ed Center, supposedly over-programmed. What was the deciding factor in terms of you going to dismissing more of the lower-paid individuals instead of being so top-heavy, so to speak?
All right.
Well, again, some of the positions that were eliminated were $100,000 positions. And I am in the process right now of asking for all of the departments within the central office, in addition to the audit, asking them to look at where we can make reductions of at least 10%. Please know, for example, when you're looking at a $40,000 position that I realize is not a lot of money in this economy, when you add benefits of 20-some
thousand. Which is retirement benefits and Social Security and all that kind of stuff.
And then realizing that teachers start out at $35,000 a year, so these positions were being paid more than even what we would pay a starting teacher. So, again, my focus is the way IPS, in my very short time here, has to be more competitive is by improving the grades that we receive from the state of Indiana. And so I'm trying to do is not have that happen and hit the classroom. But you're absolutely correct that we continue to look at all the people we employ And, for example, six of those positions were $100,000 positions that were eliminated, and there'll be more along the way.
How many positions have yet to be decided? I mean, there's about 95 that have been reinstated, 59 rift. What's left?
Well, if you look at the central office, and I met with them in the first week that I became the interim, I said to them, much has been written about this building. Mm-hmm. We have too many people, mm-hmm. and we've got too many layers, too many silos, too much redundancy. We've got to reduce. We will not have the same number of people here when we start school as we do now. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm bringing in the business community, because I think it gives us a more objective view of, do we have too many people in maintenance and the people that clean the buildings? And what about finance and what about HR?
One final thing, in the administrators who have been reapproved.
Yes, sir.
They were only approved for 10 months, or as many of them were approved for 10 months and in previous years, 12 months. Was that a de facto cut?
Well, it is a cut, and those positions have not all been filled. What we did with vice principals, it is very typical in most surrounding districts. Vice principals are 10 months, deans are 10 months. Mm-hmm. Now, when we did the reclamation, we utilized those people, but the board had a report that the reclamation for the cost mm-hmm. really didn't necessarily bring in what we had hoped, although we did have successes there. So it's a cost savings without eliminating positions, but we have summer school in just maybe three places.
Right.
We can do supplemental contracts for people that do that. It's not necessary to pay everyone to work 12 months when they're not needed to work 12 months.
And so that's an additional savings.
Correct.
Do we have a ballpark of what that additional savings is?
Well, I'm going to say that's probably in the neighborhood of $500,000.
Okay. All right. So that's 2.9, $500,000. Now we're up to 3.4. I'm trying to get you to
right. I appreciate that.
To 30.
Right.
Interim Superintendent of IPS, Dr. Peggy Hinckley. And now she's on her way back to meet with her principal, so she'll be there on time. Thanks very much for being with us.